Good afternoon, Las Vegas and Palm Springs. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, coming at you live out of Las Vegas on 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks. Also, 98.1 FM in Palm Springs, our sister city in Coachella. And I think we have some beautiful weather, and we're sharing some beautiful weather. Finally, are we out of the floods yet? They're expecting another foot of snow up in northern Nevada. And they've already got, I think, 70 feet at 70,000. We're going to be skiing through Thanksgiving. But we're down here in Las Vegas, the Sunny Valley. And you can find me at ReaganBabe.com. And I'm getting used to saying that. As most of you know, I sit in for Wayne every Tuesday and Thursday on this hour. And then he joins me at 4 o'clock. But I go to war on his behalf and your behalf. And he has some great warriors out there. You guys always provide me with so much information. Whether it's email or tweet or Facebook, you can email me, ReaganBabyUSA@gmail. Find me on Twitter, Reagan_baby. Or check me out on Facebook, send me a message there on my Reagan Baby fan page. So, geez, what are we going to talk about today? Well, I have a fantastic follow-up interview at 3:15, and that's with Trevor Louden. And I had the opportunity to meet Trevor at, I believe his agent at CPAC. And I interviewed him last week when I had this whole show for all of the 3 hours, Monday through Friday last week. And it came at a really interesting time because of all of the leaks that are going on within, which are felonies, which are going in within one of 16 intelligence agencies or 17 intelligence agencies that Barack Obama gave that sharing capability through executive order. So it's really hard to find the moles, very hard to find the moles because of his actions. And my interview with Trevor came at a good time because of the leaks and because of the inability to identify the enemy. We had that for 8 years under Barack Obama, whereby his foreign policy was to fight climate change and not radical Islam, and thereby the rise of ISIS, the new SS, quite frankly. And the death and destruction that they've left behind has to make us question, number one, not only the foreign policy that we just endured, but how are we going to move forward? And how we move forward, I think, is one of the most important, obviously, in our victory. However, it's also important how we move forward by identifying the enemies within. And within, I mean the enemies within our government. Whether we've hired them or whether we've elected them. And I don't mean personally hired them, but our tax dollars are being used to hire, I would call them sleeper cell jihadists. And we have this it can be very well explained by Trevor at 3:15, but this coordination between the Democrat Party and Islam, radical Islam, in the name of, I guess, diversity. That's the old canard that the Democrats always use, diversity. We must be diverse. But when I watched Trevor's movie, it's actually a political arrangement. And if you know the Muslim Brotherhood, as Trevor points out, within the enemies within, you will be one of the biggest champions of Ted Cruz. Because Ted Cruz is one of the very few senators that have put forth, I believe, a bill which would then identify and categorize and label the Muslim Brotherhood as an enemy. And their roots in this country go far and wide and deep with all of their associations. And after I talked to Trevor last week, I ended up watching his movie, but also last week, I had talked about a story. And if you go to my Reagan Baby Radio on ReaganBabe.com, you will find my interview with Trevor there, but you also find my first interview, but you will also find me discussing a story about what we really should be talking about having an FBI investigation, not this investigation based in the nothing burger of Trump and Putin conspiring to overthrow the U.S. election. That's just a distraction created by the Democrats. Because what's really going on that no one else is talking about is the four or five Pakistani national moles that were all working for 14 or 15 different Democrats who sit on our intelligence agencies, as well as other agencies related to intelligence. And what the Daily Caller Foundation uncovered was that this pack of Pakistanis was paid close to $5 million over 7 years. Many of these Pakistani moles were working odd hours. Some never showed up to work. But on average, they were paid four times the average employee with the same title. And they worked since many of them have been here since 2000. I think one came in 2001, one came in 2009. And it became a family affair. Their wives, their 20-year-old son was making $120,000 a year. And the access that these moles had to our most precious national security secrets were found to have been offloaded onto their own private server. So all of the emails, all of the intelligence gathering information, all of the plans on how to implement the intelligence throughout other agencies, all of our operations related to intelligence were given to these Pakistani nationals without, I guess, any degree, with one Pakistani national, believe it or not, his financier, who he got a loan from to open up a car dealership in Northern Virginia, has ties to Hezbollah. And one of the Democrat elected officials who employed one of the brothers, as well as the wives, was none other than Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And then there was another name, and I want you to remember this name, if this page is loaded. Yeah, here we go. He is an Indiana senator, and he is, let's see, let me grab his name real quick here as I'm scrolling. So anyway, he's an Indiana senator who appears in Trevor Loudon's movie. And that's when I went back to this article and found his name, and I said, holy, sheet, basically. Right. And his name is Andre Carson. And he's a Democrat from Indiana. And when I watched the five-minute clip, which I posted on my Reagan Baby fan page on Facebook, chills literally came up my neck. Because we need not to keep on with this nothing burger that the press wants to carry for their Democrat operatives and prostitutes in the press. They are going to run with the narrative that Donald Trump and Putin conspired to overthrow this election or meddle in our election system in order for Donald Trump to be ushered in. And Donald Trump's a double agent. Jeff Sessions is a double agent. Michael Flynn was a double agent pretty soon. Jared Kushner is going to be a double. Basically, the whole entire operation is KGB. That's what the Democrats in the press are saying. That's what the Democrats in the press are saying. But what we really need to be talking about are the double agents in the Democrat Party. And so that conversation is going to be happening next with Trevor Loudon. So don't go anywhere. This is Megan Barth, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks. Good afternoon. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, coming at you live from Las Vegas, also 98.1 FM in our sister city, Coachella Valley, Palm Springs. Well, I am so pleased to have up our next guest, and this is Trevor Loudon. And Trevor Loudon and I talked last week, and I promised him I was going to watch his movie, which I did, The Enemies Within. And I had to get him back on this week to discuss the movie and the absolute shock that I had and that you will have once you watch this. So Trevor, you can find him at trevorloudon.com, TrevorLoudon.com. He's a celebrated author, filmmaker, and political commentator from New Zealand who has been researching the radical left for more than 30 years. And so this guy knows the enemy. Hey, Trevor, how are you? This is Megan.
Oh, look, great to be on. Thanks, Megan.
Hey, anytime. And thank you so much for returning, because I had the opportunity to watch The Enemies Within, and I had chills up my spine. And and it all started, you know, we've always, at least I have, understood the roots of the radical left. I understood who Barack Obama was, even though the press didn't vet him. I understood that the platforms of the Democrat Party were more aligned with socialism and communism than, of course, the free market principles of what conservatism is and what I would say the American ideal. And so take our listeners through, in case this is the first time they're hearing you, on your research into the radical left, what inspired you to do it, and what you've done to uncover some truly radical associations and the history. You're the one that found Frank Marshall Davis, right? The mentor of Obama, the communist mentor of Obama, who Obama sought out in Chicago. So take us back through a little bit so they understand who you are and where you're coming from.
Yeah, look, I came from Christchurch, New Zealand. And back in 1984, we elected a socialist Labour government, sort of like, the Democrats. And they enacted legislation banning nuclear warships from our harbours. And that destroyed our military alliance with the United States. The Australia, New Zealand, United States military alliance, ANZUS, was killed stone cold dead. And you've got to remember, my country is a country that loves America and was saved by Americans in World War II from invasion by the Japanese, saved us at the battles of Guadalcanal and the Coral Sea and Midway. So it was a big shock that we would do this. And I interviewed extensively a gentleman who had infiltrated the New Zealand Communist Party for our security services. He was a government spy inside the communist movement. He trained in Moscow in 1983 at Lenin's Institute for Higher Learning with 6,000 other students from all over the world. And he was there when the Soviets planned and orchestrated New Zealand's anti-nuclear legislation. He was involved in implementing it.
Sorry, this is an important point, because you say that the communists always go after the arms, right? The way that you defend yourself.
Yeah.
That's kind of their first attack. So,
what they were trying to do at the time, they were trying to break up NATO in Europe. And they were having massive anti-nuclear marches through Europe and get America out of Europe and end NATO. You know, hundreds of thousands of people were marching through Paris and Stockholm and, Rome, all paid for and organized by the Soviet Union, because they knew if they could break up NATO, they could control Europe. So, but their plan was, well, it wasn't going as well as they hoped in Europe. So they're chess players. So they took New Zealand out of the anti-nuclear alliance, thinking that that would encourage the breakup of NATO, you see. Mm-hmm. And that worked. It worked. But Reagan managed to hold NATO together, and the Soviet Union imploded for a time anyway. The Soviets have always controlled the peace movement. If you look at any peace movement in the United States, anti-military movement, every one of them is communist controlled. Every single one of them, from Peace Action to United for Peace and Justice, they are all communist controlled. But anyway, so that got what I learned from that was that most of the policies that come from our left-wing political parties, from the US Democrats, from the British Labour Party, from the Canadian Liberals, are actually communist policies that are brought into the the mainstream left-wing parties through the union movement and other organisations the communists control. So that's why you've got a nuclear deal with Iran. That's why you've got Obamacare. That's why you've got immigration amnesty being pushed down your throats. That's why you've got a massive Muslim refugee resettlement into this country. That's why you've got, the anti-fracking movement and the tying up of your energy resources. All of these are communist policies that are infiltrated into the Democratic Party and become the law of the land.
And you have
to live under it.
Right. And so you traced these connections back to a group that has funded many, many currently elected Democrats like Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, and many others, but leading Democrats. And it was the Living
Council for a Livable World.
Council for a Livable World.
Yeah. Expound
on that a little bit, because the Council for the Liberal World is actually associated. It was founded by a communist, and I believe, also associated with the Communist Party USA. And you do all of this tying and how they fund many of our current leaders in the Democrat Party.
Yeah. Look, see, what the Soviets wanted to do after World War II was to disarm America, the Soviets got the nuclear bomb, I think, in 1949 by stealing the secrets off America, through the Rosenberg spy ring. And those people were executed for their treason. But anyway, the goal after that was to keep on disarming America and building up the Soviet Union and then Russia to give Russia the advantage. So what they did, one of the top guys in the atomic bomb the Manhattan Project was a guy called Leo Szilard, a Hungarian communist, and he was one of the guys that basically gave you the bomb. And after World War II, he was used by the Soviets. He was allegedly a recruited Soviet agent to push for American disarmament. And in 1962, he actually set up a PAC, Council for a Livable World, that started to fund Senate races in small states and get behind left-wing anti-military candidates. And they have managed to get over 130 senators into your Senate and more than 200 congressmen. And that includes 40 of your current Democrat Senate delegation have been funded by these people. And including Joe Biden, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Tim Kaine, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and a whole bunch of your other senators. And these people, and then they boast how these people have voted to cut your military systems, to sign a whole bunch of treaties with Moscow that have put America at a huge disadvantage. And now Russia has three times more nukes than America does, all because of this treasonous organization, which is still operating, which was set up by a Soviet spy and has funded most of your main Democratic Party leaders.
And
this,
many
this
of
should
these
be a national scandal,
right,
but it's,
exactly.
The media won't touch it.
Right. And this is why, well, we know why the media won't touch it, but we are going to have to touch some media. We have to go to a commercial break right now, but we'll be back. So hang on the line. Charlie will take care of you on the break, Trevor. And folks, I want you to hang on the line, because we're going to talk about that Pakistani mole operation and the current Democrats that are sitting on intelligence committees that have been funded by communists. Why aren't we talking about this? We're going to talk about this some more after this break. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now. Talk that rocks. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, coming at you live from Las Vegas on 790 Talk Now. Talk that rocks. Also, 98.1 FM in Palm Springs. I'm going to go right to Trevor Loudon. Let's pick him up again, Charlie. There we go. Hi, Trevor.
Hi, how are you, Megan?
I'm good. Okay, and so before we went to the break, we were talking about the infiltration of the Communist Party within the Democrat Party and how easy it was to sell the progressive ideals such as nationalized health care, disarmament, peace movement, amnesty, the Muslim refugee program, all to create the destabilization of the West. And the Muslim refugees specifically, as well, not just the Muslim refugees, but those that we have obviously given security clearance to in our government frightens me. Specifically, and I had sent you an email, and I don't know if you caught it, regarding the four or five Pakistani moles. And my first question before I even had talked to you last week was, how did these guys receive security clearance, especially when they were raking in millions of dollars, four times what the average worker would get when their son, 20 years old, has security clearance being paid $120,000 a year, and now the family is found to have offloaded the most sensitive intelligence, top secret information about our intelligence gathering and our intelligence operations. And one thing you had mentioned in your movie, which also caused chills up my spine, is that the FBI is not allowed to be concerned about the extent of the Muslim Brotherhood influence or the Muslim influence, radical Muslim influence within our government.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, America thinks they're being protected by their government, because, you know, a lot of Americans, they might have been in the military or worked for the government, and they've undergone FBI security checks. You need one to be a realtor. You need one to drive a school bus. And they will check your background, your financial records, they'll interview your family, they'll interview your neighbors, where you went to school. They can be exceedingly thorough. But I think most Americans would be shocked to understand that if you serve on the Armed Services Committee or the Homeland Security Committee or the Intelligence Committee of the House of Representatives, you need nothing. There are no checks whatsoever for congressmen serving on those bodies. And clearly, there are minimal, if any, security checks for their staff. Ever since the Clinton era and even before, security checks have been progressively downgraded to the point in the executive branch, they mean nothing. And the legislative branch, they mean nothing. So you've got a situation now with three Pakistani brothers and their wives raking off millions of dollars, working for 40 congressmen, all Democrats, serving on the Armed Services Committee, the Intelligence Committee, and it looks like they've been stealing secrets. Mm-hmm. One of them was tied to an Iraqi businessman, got a loan from an Iraqi businessman who is allegedly tied to Hezbollah. So you have got a potentially one of the biggest security breakdowns you've ever seen in American history. The mainstream media is hardly touching it.
Nope.
But, you know, what can possibly go wrong? You've got three Muslim brothers working for the Department of Homeland Security
their
with
son.
No security checks,
mm-hmm.
and their son with obviously minimal, if any, security checks. Do we not think our enemies are going to do something with this? You know, there's another little question here too. See, if you pass government secrets onto a foreign body, you can get charged with espionage or treason, and the penalty for that is still death. But if you leave some stuff lying around in a hotel room where you know that the enemy might pick it up, like Hillary Clinton did in hotel rooms in Moscow, for instance, just leave classified stuff lying around, well, guess who's going to be searching your hotel room, and you know that. Well, these congressmen, they're not going to be stupid enough to pass on intelligence secrets to the enemies. But if they hire people with no security checks who they know are going to be a risk, and that ends up, stuff does end up getting to enemies, they've achieved the same purpose, but they cannot be charged or held responsible.
They'll
so
just
I think
be charged with extreme
here.
Carelessness, right?
So they probably won't even be charged with that.
Well,
but what they've done, they've opened up your government systems. They've destroyed the security so badly that you can leak anything out to your enemies, And these congressmen, many of them are working for your enemies, but they can't be charged with espionage because they're not doing themselves. They're just employing people that they have good reason to believe will do the job for them.
And one congressman you had mentioned, which was part of one of the financiers of this family, he was appointed by Nancy Pelosi. His name is Andre Carson. And Andre Carson is from Indiana. And what just the 5 minutes, and I posted this on my Facebook page, just for the 5 minutes I watched, I got chills up my spine because he doesn't answer the question. He calls out people in the crowd at this CARE lecture that he's giving. He's raising money for CARE. And he said,
ICNA, actually, the Islamic Conference of North America, but a similar related organization.
Right. And I think I think he gave two interviews that I saw. But yes, at ICNA. And he said, for those of you in the audience that are spying, he said, and think that I want to destroy this country. He never said he didn't. He just said that you can't stop the will of Allah.
Yeah, it's a very chilling moment, isn't it? He's sort of laughing away, saying, oh, you're spying on me. You think I'm going to plot it. We're all plotting to destroy this country here. Well, for those in the audience here undercover watching me, and he just pauses. Mm-hmm. Allah will not allow you to stop us.
Will
not allow you to stop us. And this is the guy serving on the intelligence committee, overseeing all 16 of your intelligence agencies, directing them, getting secret information. You know, this is one of the most sensitive posts in the country, and that is his attitude. You know, that's just one. We say there's 100 people in Congress who couldn't pass an FBI background check, and at least 20 in the Senate, more like 30 in the Senate, who would not pass one. So this is why America's got problems, because your internal enemies are wrecking this country while your sons and daughters go overseas in uniform to deal with the foreign enemies. The internal enemies are betraying them every single day, and nobody's touching them.
Why is no one touching them? Because this is what I started with this. I've always liked to talk on radio about things that people aren't talking about that they should be talking about, right? And this is the type of story that should be on CNN, should be on ABC News, NBC, Fox News, Bloomberg, etc. And yet I can't find it anywhere. Being done at the congressional level or the powers that be or the people that can truly bring justice and root out the enemies from within?
Well, you look at it. There's a great quote. I don't know if it's from Shakespeare, but it sounds like Shakespeare. Why doth treason never prosper? Because when treason prospers, none dare call it treason. When it's so endemic, when so many people are involved in it and compromised by it, nobody dares to call it out. You know, and look, I showed in my movie that you just saw to a very well-connected and very influential congressman out of the Midwest who serves on committees with some of these people. And he looked at that movie and at the end of it said, I knew nothing of this. I knew none of this. This is all a revelation to me. So, part of it is just, you know, they're terrified of being accused of being McCarthyists or racists or xenophobes or Islamophobes, and that shuts a lot of people up. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of straight-out ignorance. They just don't know what's going on. They're too busy feathering their own nest to protect the Constitution from internal enemies, domestic enemies. And on the Republican side, too, there are people who are also compromised by CARE and other similar organizations. So, you know, you remember when Michelle Bachmann, the congresswoman from Minnesota, and four others wrote a letter asking the FBI to look into the Muslim Brotherhood connections of Huma Abedin, mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton's assistant while she was Secretary of State. An entirely reasonable letter considering what we know about Huma Abedin. It wasn't just the Democrats who pounced on Michelle Bachmann. John McCain did.
Marco Rubio. Imagine that.
Yeah. Imagine that. John McCain, you know, good old John, you know. And they just gave her such a hard time that it basically destroyed her career. Mm-hmm. So there's a real, there's an old boys club that protects each other, and they will protect everything, including treason, because so many of them are compromised. They all know each other's secrets. You know, you play golf with these people, so why would you call them out? That's why we cannot rely on Congress to enforce these rules. This has got to be, I think, Donald Trump's got to lead the way on this and demand that any congressman who wants to serve on any government committee has to undergo a background check.
Absolutely. You know, that would be the simplest Band-Aid on this whole problem.
It would... I'd say half the Democratic caucus would have to resign straight away, and I'd say probably 10% of the Republicans would as well.
That
would solve the problem overnight.
And tell people where
that would solve the problem, yeah.
That would, in a very simple solution to solve the problem. Well, I hope he gets a copy of your movie. I'll send him my copy.
I'm pretty sure. I think he has, but I know a lot of people around him have, that's for sure.
Tell people how they can find you and your movie so they can order it online.
Yeah, look, please go to enemieswithinmovie.com. Enemieswithinmovie.com. You can just buy it online there. We have bulk discounts. We want several hundred thousand, if not million, Americans to see this. And also you can go to Amazon Prime, The Enemies Within, buy it there, or iTunes, The Enemies Within, or Comcast. I believe it's also on Comcast now as well.
Excellent.
But the easiest way, just go straight to enemieswithinmovie.com. As you know, you're an informed conservative, Megan. You were shocked by what you saw.
Absolutely,
were you not?
Absolutely. And like I said, I'm a news hound. I'm definitely voracious when it comes to understanding the left. And I thought I had understood him pretty well, but this movie gave me a whole this movie shined light where it needed to be shown.
Yeah, I think, and that's what we need to do. Look, America's a great country, and the whole freedom of the Western world depends on this country. No external enemy can bring America down, but internal enemies can, and that's why we've got to get this out there. That's why we have a very short window of opportunity under Donald Trump to get on top of this problem, and we cannot blow it.
Well, thank you so much, Trevor. Always a pleasure to talk to you, and I'm sure we'll be talking again soon, I hope.
Look, always a pleasure, and anytime, Megan.
Don't
hesitate.
All right,
thank you
be
very
well.
Much.
Thank you so much. Folks, that was Trevor Loudon, enemieswithinmovie.com. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks. Welcome back. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks, live in Palm Springs as well, 98.1 FM there in our sister city, the Coachella Valley of Palm Springs. So I always sit on in for Wayne Allyn Root at this time, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific. And then he joins me and gets back on his show at 4 o'clock. And then we'll do a segment or two and talk about the issues of the day, because God knows there's a lot to talk about. But he's the capitalist evangelist warrior, and he'll be taking over this mic. And I was so pleased to have this mic all last week while he was touring Asia. I learned so much from you. I encourage your phone calls. You can call toll free. It's free. 844-WAR-NOW-1, 844-927-6691. So we got the latest news coming out of D.C. Is Obamacare and the replacement and the repeal of it. And as I was watching this whole replacement deal develop, and, you know, I look a little sideways at Paul Ryan. You know, I don't trust the fact that we gave the Republicans 8 years, well, really 6 years when they took over the Congress and the House, they controlled the purse strings. We gave them 6 years to do, to create a plan, and they tried to repeal it. They tried to repeal it, but of course they couldn't. But when they had the power to defund it, they didn't. They actually funded it. And when you look at Obamacare as a whole, you have to ask yourself, well, what did people really get? We didn't get much. We got higher costs, higher health care costs, higher premium costs. We have a, I think, $2 billion website or a $1 billion website that doesn't work. We have healthcare companies, insurance companies dropping out of plans whereby some counties in the country don't even have a choice of Obamacare. So, of course, we have to replace it. But what do we replace it with? And how do we repeal it? Well, now, Paul Ryan has given his position on how you repeal it. You basically remove all of the taxes. You don't allow the taxes to recur. That's kind of how you starve the beast. You don't fund it. That is another way how you starve the beast. But there are many conservatives, like the Freedom Caucus, that have problems because there is a mandate in the bill. And the Medicaid issue, rather, is something that hasn't been discussed enough. Most people were dumped onto Medicaid as a solution of providing them health care or insurance, rather. And 99% of the people that truly overutilize Medicaid is illegal aliens. But no one wants to talk about that. And that's why I like to talk about what people don't want to talk about. And the explosion in Medicaid actually caused many doctors, hospitals, clinics, et cetera, to refuse accepting any new Medicaid patients or completely eliminating that population from treatment because the costs of treating those patients outweigh what they can afford. But that's the old Cloward-Piven model, right? You overthrow the system. You put more people in the wagon than are pulling the wagon, and then you get nationalized health care because that was always the goal. Single payer was always the goal. So let's go to our Secretary of Health and Human Services, a cut by Dr. Tom Price. And he wants us to look at the sum of the parts in the Obamacare replacement in order to make an educated decision.
Some of it's process talk, some of it's tactics talk, but if you look at the whole package together, phase one is this reconciliation bill that has that is required to go through the budgetary process, and there's some confinements to it, some constraints to it. Phase two is what we're able to do here at the department. All of the hundreds of rules and regulations that were put in place by the previous administration, we can look at that at them and say, do they help patients? Do they decrease costs? And if they do, we ought to be doing more of them. If they harm patients or increase costs, then we ought to do away with them. And then the third phase is that phase that requires a further a piece of legislation. Those are the kind of insurance things, association health plans, purchase across state lines, medical malpractice reform, all of those things. If you look at the totality of it, it is the kinds of things that we've been working for years and years and years to get that patient-centered health care going. So I think that if people look at the entire package together, that they will be wholly supported.
Okay, so he says it's three steps. I've heard five. I've heard six. But my question is, why wasn't the ability to purchase across state lines in phase one? In this bill right now, if you want to decrease costs, you increase competition, you increase provider choices or consumer choices rather by providers, and you flood the market with choice and competition, and thereby you drive down the costs overall. So I'm skeptical. And let's go to a caller, Frank, because he actually has a question about Obamacare. Hi, Frank. This is Megan.
Megan, first, I want to what a fantastic guest you and Wayne had. Tremendous. I enjoy the show. I listen. I had no intentions of calling in, but I called my millionaire friend, but he's nowhere in Wayne's league. He's upper middle class, and he's taking care of his mom. He's joint. And 2 years ago, I talked to him. He says, well, I haven't seen it yet. Now Obamacare hit. His insurance rates, his premiums have tripled. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's like, Frank, if I'm going to hang on to it, I'm going to have to sell off. Or he's right. Going to have to change his whole way of life.
That's right. Well, and that was the goal, Frank. I appreciate the call. All of our rates have tripled, some quadrupled, some have gone up by 100%. But the goal was not for Obamacare to work. The goal was national single-payer health care, and Donald Trump stopped them in their tracks. And we're going to stop on our tracks right here to take a break. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, 790 Talk Now. Talk That Rocks.